warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, standing here in studio, back with my co-host, partner in crime, David Niles. Dave, how was your vacay?
It was good.
It was good?
It was only 1 week long. If you can believe it.
No, I can't.
I know you can't believe it.
But you're about to go on vacation again here pretty soon.
In like three more weeks.
So if you were referencing last week, I had to solo the Catholic Man Show. I had three different guest hosts lined up, and they all kind of fell through. The last one falling through at the very last minute. So I had to solo the Catholic Man Show last week. So if you were listening for the very first time last week to the Catholic Man Show and you tuned in again this week, thank you so much. Thanks for suffering through last week's episode as I did it solo. But
those people, they were thinking, I'll be back.
No. That was so hard because it's like we always use we, like, you know, plural pronouns and things like that. And whenever you don't have anybody there.
I would have just kept saying it in referencing the royal we.
The royal we. Now,
I have no idea what the royal we is. I know what it is. It's when you use plural pronouns for yourself when you're only yourself.
Right.
We think this.
I think that.
Meaning I think that. But that's stupid.
That is stupid. Now, there is speculation. David Bates has speculation that you were actually here last week, but through your humility, you sat in complete silence.
You know, and I am absolutely shocked at his perceptivity. And there has been a theory floated around. If you recall, when we had Carlo Broussard on the show, we talked about the four levels of manliness.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some very deep theological discussion happening on our private Facebook page about what could possibly be the fifth level of manliness, aka the Dave.
Oh, man.
Okay. In my humility, I didn't bring that up, okay?
But you just did.
No, I mean on the Facebook page originally.
Oh, okay.
It was not something, I mean, obviously I'm aware of it. Obviously.
I mean, it's not false humility.
Not at all.
Right.
Not in the slightest.
Right.
So my thinking is that Mr. Bates also being a candidate to participate in the Dave was aware by some mystical
like
level of manliness.
That level of humility recognizes other high levels of humility.
Can sense it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I get you. Well, if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, Dave, we do three things every episode.
My humility is a sense. Yes, it's my seventh sense.
Okay. Seventh.
That's
seventh sense.
Yeah. Oh, I have other ones too.
Okay. Well, let's not go into those.
I'm not trying to, you know.
I mean, that's for another episode.
I'm not trying to brag.
Right. I know. I get you.
Obviously.
I mean, I didn't even think that. That wasn't even a conceived thought.
Okay. Because I was worried that you might be thinking.
No. That's not a conceived thought. Okay. The three things that we do. I'm going to let you do it because like last week I had to do it by myself. So I'm going to let you do it.
Kind of.
No, I did.
I mean, I was here.
Oh, mate, possibly.
Yeah, I just didn't let you do it.
Okay, go ahead.
Along with everything else. The three things we do on the Catholic Man Show. Numero uno. We open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage, which we are going to do so soon. We always wait way too long to do that on the show. We always ramble on about stupid stuff.
Including this episode.
And it's like, there's a beverage over here. We need to drink it. I am thirsty. So anyway, we're going to do that. Open review and enjoy a man beverage. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it. We're going to love it. It's going to be awesome. The second thing we do is we're going to highlight a man gear of some kind. It's just awesome dude stuff. I always use examples of stuff when I'm telling other people, like, what do you mean by man gear? I always use examples of things we've never done.
I've done that too.
Like a chainsaw or a flamethrower.
Right.
Why have we not done these things?
I don't know.
I am going to absolutely make a flamethrower the man gear at the next conceivable opportunity. Anytime I can somehow work in whatever virtue a flamethrower exemplifies, we're going to have a topic about it. Just to get in a flamethrower as a
maybe
man topic.
Prudence?
Maybe. Who knows, dude?
Okay, I'm
Who
excited.
Knows?
I'm excited about
like
that.
A flamethrower is pretty versatile, if you ask me.
Okay.
The third thing we do is we have a manly discussion. Some have called it the manliest discussion of all time. I don't know. You know what? You decide.
And this week is...
You decide.
This week is going to be just that. It is going to be an extremely manly discussion.
Yeah. And whatever you decide, just know I will judge you on your decision. I will judge you. Okay? And it feels so good.
Okay, so let's get into the drink. Let's get into the drink.
Please do.
Okay.
I will allow you to pour it for me.
Okay, I'll pour it. Well, actually, you pour it so that way I can talk about it.
Okay, I'll allow that too.
Okay, good. So on my way back this this last weekend, I had a family vacation.
Do you want some too?
Yes,
or is this
please.
All for me?
No, please. I'd like some
you
too.
You do want some?
I do want some. This last week.
Oh my gosh.
Did you spill some?
I poured some on the I poured it on the floor. I got distracted.
To our homies.
That is alcohol abuse.
To our homies.
Do you have like a paper towel?
No, we're in the middle of a show. We'll worry about that here in a little bit.
Okay.
So this last weekend I was on family vacation. On the way back,
you were on a vacation too.
I was. Yeah, we went to Branson.
Yeah, your vacations are always so long and drawn out.
It was the weekend. It was a
Friday night extended weekend.
So on our way back, we stopped by a brewery to pick up a beer. We stopped by Mother's Brewery, is what it's called. Mother's Brewery.
Not related to Mother Angelica. That was my first question.
Or the Virgin Mother.
Right. Well, I knew she's not out there brewing beer.
Right. So we stopped by there. They have a Imperial Stout called Rated R, and it is a coffee Imperial Stout. And so I picked it up for this week's episode. So that's what we're going to drink. That's what we're having is, it's Mother's Brewing Rated R Imperial Stout.
And you tell them about Father Brian.
I asked Father Brian Ketter, I said, hey, have you tried this yet? And he said, no, I picked one up, but I haven't tried it. So.
Do you have any chocolate mousse, raspberry sorbet, cheesecake, or anything else delectable?
Man, if you would have asked me yesterday.
You had some yesterday?
No, I just said if you would have asked me yesterday.
Oh, you'd have some for today?
No, I just said if you would have asked me yesterday.
If I had done that, then what?
The answer would still be the same. You just didn't let me finish.
That is a worthless comment. Totally worthless.
Okay, so let's...
Well, anyway, it says it pairs great with that.
Well, it's a chocolate... coffee Imperial Stout. So let's cheers and let's try it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Okay, I'm going to try it first.
You go ahead.
Talk about why we drink on air while I try it.
Don't tell me what to do.
I'm just giving you ideas.
On another note, the reason we drink on air is because it's delicious. Also, we... uphold virtue across the board in this show. And temperance is a really good virtue to uphold because it's so widely neglected. Everybody talks about, oh, compassion as a virtue.
Interesting and you bring that up.
Maybe intentionally so.
Okay.
But, you know, temperance, moderation, these are not things people even care about. They don't even want to talk
fortitude.
About
fortitude. I like fortitude.
People talk about courage, you know.
Right, fortitude, yeah.
So... We realized, well, it's easier to demonstrate temperance than it is just anybody can just talk about it, even though nobody does.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we drink. We do it to demonstrate how to drink in moderation.
Yeah.
Which, according to our show, is every time.
Yeah.
Except for twice.
Except for twice.
Because you did coffee last time, and we've done mm-hmm. coffee another time.
Mm-hmm. So that's why we do it.
So like 99% of the time.
That's not accurate either. But
You're right.
So it's like a wheat ale. It starts out with, which is a great base to launch from. You can taste kind of the wheat to it, but it has this. It has a strong chocolate, mm-hmm. And dried fruit cherry.
Yeah,
type
I was gonna
of,
say a little bit of cherry.
Dried fruit cherry type of flavor, and then at the very end is the hint of coffee. At least in my
A coffee, or it could be like a bitter dark chocolate aftertaste.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I get, and I love dark chocolate. Dark chocolate's way better than milk chocolate. I'm not slamming milk chocolate at all, because it's delicious too, but dark chocolate's just where it's at.
It's a dark beer with like a tan foam to it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost looks like a Guinness.
It looks like a stout.
Right.
And the foam is very stouty. It's a stout foam.
Mm-hmm.
But it is good.
It is a very good stout.
And I feel like we're drinking it at the appropriate temperature.
That's right. Because
common mistake when drinking stouts.
About 45 minutes ago, I took it out of the fridge.
Perfect. Yeah. So put it in the fridge. Let it get to fridge temperature. Set it out of the fridge for 45 minutes. Then open that puppy up.
Because I think it's supposed to be around like 50 to 55 degrees.
That is correct.
Is that right? Yeah.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah. And it's really, because that way it brings out a lot of the flavor that you wouldn't get if it was so cold. If it was so cold, you wouldn't catch a lot of the flavors that, mm-hmm. that stand out. I don't think you'd catch the coffee. I don't think you'd check.
Certainly. And the chocolate would be much more muted, I think.
I agree.
I don't exactly know why, but I think it has something to do with the fact that it thickens up, you know, the colder it gets.
Maybe, yeah.
So it's thinner. You can get more of it.
All right. So that's the first segment. When we get back, we're going to talk about the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. My name is David Niles. I'm here with Adam Minahan. We are in studio today. This is the Catholic Man Show, reminding you to go out and be a man. Because if you're not going to do that, what the heck are you doing? Okay, just think about that for a second. Be a man, or I don't know. Just don't look at me.
Be a man, or seriously, don't look at me.
Assuming, unless you're a woman. If you're a woman, don't be a man.
Oh, great quality. Yeah. Great.
That's all I've got to say. If you're a man, you better be a man. If you're a woman, you're just awesome the way you are. That's all I've got to say.
Okay. I think that's good.
If I feel like if I go further, it's going to get weird.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move on. The drink that we're having is Mother's Brewing. It's a Imperial Stout called Rated R. Delicious. Great coffee, chocolate stout.
It is super good.
Mm-hmm.
How much was it? This is a liter.
Yeah, and
one liter bottle.
I think it was about $15.
Okay, so a little on the pricey side.
It was on the pricier side, but because I was there, I was like, I'm gonna go ahead and do it.
Do you pray when you go into these chapels you call liquor stores all the time, or do you just go in and selfishly look around?
No, I pray without ceasing, as Saint Paul has prescribed.
Impressive. That is impressive.
That's what I try to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
probably because you hang out with me so much, it's so inspiring.
That's how we flip this. Okay. All right. I want to give a shout out to all of our new Council of Man members.
Yeah.
Like we've picked up quite a few Council of Man members recently. Mm-hmm. Council of Man is a group that Dave and I started that supports the Catholic Man Show. If you're a man who wants to live virtuously, wants to get together with other guys virtually on our Facebook page.
Virtual virtue.
Actually, we're about on the campout that we're going to have, you can literally hang out with
We're going to get together. We're going to do man stuff. We're going to like find heavy stuff and pick it up.
Yeah.
And then we're going to put it down.
It's going to be really fun. Go if you want to come to the campout. We only have a limited number of registrations. The number started at 40, and as of this recording, we're down to like 28. So And we haven't really opened it up to the public yet.
Do you know any Apache war cries? We could, like, if you do, we could, like, learn some, like, Apache war cries.
Boy, that would be weird.
Yeah.
So
that'd be pretty sweet, though.
Okay, so we'd love you to join us. Councilman is basically a guy who donates $10 a month. I'm sorry, $10 a month, and in return as a thank you, we send a sweet Catholic Metro Glencairn glass,
laser etched,
and we do like exclusive content just for you guys.
Like one of my favorite parts about the glass.
Yeah,
it's etched with lasers.
And so anyway, we send that out, and there's a private Facebook group, and we do exclusive content. Like this last week, I did a interview with Sam Guzman, the Catholic gentleman, on the Latin Mass.
Who is also a Council of Man member.
Who is a Council of Man member.
He's one of our newer ones.
So anyway, that's what the Council of Man is. Mm-hmm. Let's get into the gear. We've killed like half this segment already.
I blame you, but that's okay. That's okay. I also forgive you. The gear for today is a wheelbarrow.
I always think it's wheelbarrow.
Me too, dude.
I say that
all
the time.
I wonder if that's an Oklahoma thing, because I was an adult when I really got my head around it's wheelbarrow, not wheelbarrow.
I like barrel better.
I do too, because it's kind of like half of a barrel with a wheel on it.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't really know what a barrow is. I don't really see those in my day to day. I see barrels.
Yeah.
This beer was aged in one.
Man, what a segue.
But I don't know any beers that have been aged in any barrows.
Me either.
Barrows. That's a kind of a weird word to say.
It is a weird word. Okay, but
the wheelbarrow.
Barrow.
Yeah. Yes, the wheelbarrow. Okay, so I was looking up some history on the wheelbarrow.
Barrow.
That's what I said that time.
Okay.
It was a blur.
Okay.
And there's some controversy on when it dates back. There's some evidence to suggest it goes back to around 400 BC. In the Greek Roman part of the world, because they were building a temple to some Ulysses god or something.
Pagans.
Yeah, some stupid fake god that doesn't even exist in real life. And they found a manifesto for the building materials. And on there,
blueprint, if you will.
It was just a list, I think.
Okay.
It's on Wikipedia. They actually have the Greek.
Wow. I can't read Greek, so.
Me either. So I just am trusting the person who wrote this Wikipedia article.
The old move.
Maybe
on
the
internet.
Maybe they read
must
Greek.
Must be true.
So, must be true. I agree. But it said, one person for a wheeled cart, or for a one-wheeled something, device.
Okay.
So it certainly seems like they had a one-wheeled carrying apparatus, which we could call a wheelbarrow.
Okay.
Although in its current form, the earliest known for sure example was in China around 100, the year of our Lord 118, somewhere in there, credited to a guy whose nickname was Wolang, which means crouching dragon. Let's give it up to the Chinese. They have the best, the coolest nicknames.
They do.
I mean, right? Then there's the Native Americans.
I was just about to say Native Americans.
The Native Americans are second close.
Close second.
But they just don't have like the mythical, like the mythical teeth that the...
They're both awesome.
Crouching dragon. Are you... Come on.
Yeah.
Like the Indian, like Native Americans, they have some sweet ones too. You know, like flying warhorse or, you know, it's like, that's pretty sweet. But a dragon, dude.
Yeah, I agree.
It's tough to beat.
It is tough
Let's
to beat.
Let's be honest.
So anyway,
I don't really know how to pronounce the guy's name. That's why I'm just going to stick with his nickname.
Okay.
Wolang.
I like the wheelbarrow because it combines strength and...
And agility.
Brain and bronze.
Totally.
Okay, because you start to be strong... But it's like, hey, listen, I have to move all of this stuff from here to over there. How do I do this the most effective way possible? It's loading it up on this thing and then picking up a heavy thing and moving it.
I agree. And I think that's a good assessment. You still do have to be strong. But okay, so let me say this. The first time I saw a two-wheeled wheelbarrow, I said, that's a better wheelbarrow. I like
but
that better.
But is it?
Then I used one.
It's not.
And I said, no. Nay, sir. This is not better.
It's not like as agile.
It's very stable. It's not going to fall over.
But you can't do turns. It's like the zero turn mowers versus.
Exactly, dude.
Oh,
you can't.
Man.
You can't. Now, what I haven't seen, you know, like a skateboard, how the trucks of a skateboard, as you bend the skateboard, the wheels move side to side.
Mm-hmm.
If you could somehow make a wheelbarrow.
A swivel wheel?
That had, yeah, like the axle of the. Was just like a skateboard that would allow you some agility. That is an idea that just came to me right now. Copyright.
Somebody's going to steal that.
Copyright.
If it's a good idea. It may not even be a good idea.
I said copyright, dude.
Okay, but it may not even be a good idea.
It's like calling dibs.
You respect dibs,
yeah,
don't you?
You respect it. You respect dibs or you suffer the consequences.
Of course I do. I'm not a barbarian.
You think I am a heathen?
No, but I do like the wheelbarrow. I mean, I've used the wheelbarrow... mainly for landscaping is what I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, you know, summer or maybe two summers ago now,
mm-hmm.
I laid a bunch of sod and did a lot of landscaping in my front yard.
Yep, yep. It's pretty manly stuff.
And so I used a wheelbarrow a lot. I told you to silence your phone. And you said you did.
Sorry. That was just the Pope texting me. He always does this to me so late.
That's okay. So anyway, I do like the wheelbarrow. I'm sure it's been, what's interesting is that it really hasn't been, like, changed very much throughout the years.
No. They had pictures of the Chinese wheelbarrow.
A sign of a good design is something that, like, lasts for a really long, it's like, no one else has come up with something better.
I agree.
I think it's time, though. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it is.
I may have just come up with a better wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
With the trucks that's, you know. It could be good. They'd have to swivel. The thing is, they'd have to really swivel a lot. I mean, having that skateboard effect is going to give you a little bit more mobility. It's still not going to give you as much as the one-wheeled wheelbarrow. But certainly, it's going to be better than just the regular locked two wheels.
Right.
Pick up more with two wheels.
Dude, the most frustrating thing, though, is to like load up the wheelbarrow thinking that, oh, yeah, I'll be able to carry this.
I know what you're going to say, and the tire's flat.
No, that's not even what I was going
to
say.
That happens to me sometimes.
No, load it all up and get it, and it's top heavy, and like you're turning it, and all of a sudden it starts tilting, and you can't stop it, and then all your stuff falls out. You've never had that happen before? I know you have.
I have.
That's super frustrating.
Just not since I've been a man.
No, dude, I was with you when it happened.
I do not recall. The last time I used a wheelbarrow in a significant way was when I was pouring the concrete for my back patio.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of wheelbarrowing that day.
You use a wheelbarrow very much, you get sore, dude.
I mean, maybe you do.
I do.
I lift on a regular basis, so.
Yeah.
I haven't been sore in a long time.
Well, I do.
You gotta stay battle ready, dude.
That's true.
Battle ready.
Although I did realize that I can still run under... A 10-minute mile.
Yeah, you can definitely outrun me. I learned the battle readiness from my brother-in-law, Drew. One time I was running with him, and when he would take a corner, he would, do a spin and, punch a flower. It was it was up in Michigan. I'm not kidding. It was super awesome to, battle ready. He was kind of kidding.
That's ridiculous.
But I was, sucking wind behind him. I'm not doing that.
All right, so when we get back, here's the trigger warning right now. This topic we're going to get into is going to be a lot of fun.
Dude, I can't wait to trigger some people. It's going to be awesome.
Because it will. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Thanks for sticking through the break. Or if you're podcasting, thanks for skipping 15 seconds ahead.
Dude, I don't think people skip on the podcast. All they're doing is skipping the sweet music.
Yeah. This is the Catholic Man Show.
Let's be honest. The music is basically the best part of this podcast.
That's true. The warning and the music are probably the two best things about this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Or radio show. Radio show, podcast.
Both. It's a very Catholic both and.
Correct. Our man drink today was Mother's...
And still is. I'm still... I mean, yeah, I barely got...
It's Mother's Brewing Rated R Imperial Stout. A delicious Imperial Stout. Chocolate, coffee, dark cherry flavors. Mm-hmm. We just talked about the wheelbarrow. Not wheelbarrow. Wheelbarrow.
God, just... I do. I want to change it. Let's just make it a wheelbarrow.
That was...
It feels so much better.
That was...
Barrow is not... It doesn't roll off the tongue.
I agree. It's harder. Like, it's harder to
barrel.
Say. At least
barrel
for me, because I'm used to saying that.
Better barrel.
The topic today. The topic is going to be a little controversial, which we love. But we're going to talk about compassion. We're going to talk about compassion.
Is it uncharitable if I get excited at the notion of triggering people?
Depends on your motive.
That probably shows a lack of charity.
Yeah, that's probably...
Like, deep down in my soul.
Yeah. I think so too.
Deep, deep down.
I don't know how deep that really is, but yeah, I agree with you.
That's probably what that means.
Okay. Yeah, but so...
Because that's totally going on over here right now.
So we're going to talk about compassion. And the reason why I think it's such a trigger, it's a hot topic, it's a hot, like, button issue, I think. You say compassion, and then all of a sudden everybody has all these preconceived notions of and ideologies of what compassion is. And
when I hear people say, oh, that's just not compassionate, it makes me want to punch them in the face.
How compassionate of you. Okay, so
let's
talk about it.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay, let's talk about it.
I feel like you know what I mean.
So the word compassion comes from the Latin word meaning co-suffering.
Correct.
Okay. And, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's correct. I mean, like passion, the passion of our... Passion of Jesus is mm-hmm. the suffering of Jesus. Compassion.
Right. You know, and it says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and so if you love your neighbor as yourself, and, you know, we're all part of the mystical body of Christ, and we're all supposed to help each other get to heaven through the graces of God. You know, we can't do it ourselves, obviously, but
right.
through the graces of God, then it is... We're called by charity to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We're all baptized Catholics. So as baptized Catholics, we're supposed to evangelize and spread the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Truth. Without truth, there is no compassion.
Without truth, there is no compassion. Yeah, exactly. That's right.
I did not make that up. I've heard that somewhere.
But it's true.
But totally true. And right. compassionate of me to say. Because of its truthfulness.
Accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But the very idea of, you know, the very symbol of Christianity is a torture device, right? The very symbol of Christianity is the crucifix.
It's an interesting way to put it, but yeah.
I mean, that's what our symbol is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can't be a Christian without suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, follow Christ without a cross.
Yeah.
And so we all are carrying crosses in some way, shape, or form. We're all suffering in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of the mystical body of Christ, as we're called to lift each other up, we're called to compassion, meaning we're called to co-suffer with one another. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas, I love quoting St. Thomas Aquinas because it makes us sound super smart.
I know, dude. I feel...
Like, I'm so... Like,
I feel so intellectually superior.
I wish I had the Matt Frad accent, so that way I could say, quoting St. Thomas Aquinas... But, you know, love is willing the good of another. That's how he defines mm-hmm. love, is mm-hmm. willing the good of another.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see somebody who is suffering, to love them or to will the good of another is to co-suffer, to pick up some of their burden when they're down,
mm-hmm.
to get to the final end, a good end,
right.
a good means
mm-hmm.
to an end, which is exactly what Christ did when he came down from, you know, came down onto earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his whole passion was for an end. It was a sanctifying act. You know, it was for the salvation of everybody. So that's kind of how I'm tying in compassion. Does that make sense? Did I just make sense?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down. You know, I think I'm smelling what you're stepping in.
Okay.
Yeah. So today I was thinking about, in anticipation of this podcast / radio show, the what is often referred to as the summer of free love.
Oh, like 1969?
Mm-hmm. Kind of like that's when this whole crap started.
Hmm.
about, oh, it's okay, just like whatever you makes you feel good. And I was thinking about the notion of free love. And it occurred to me that there is no such thing as free love. It does not exist. There is love freely received. It costs nothing to receive love. But that doesn't mean that it costs nothing in totality. You cannot give love without a cost. It's almost the cost that defines the love. It's not like, oh, if it doesn't cost you anything, it's not love. But it's because it costs you something that makes it loving.
I think that's very accurate.
And maybe that's not exactly...
Because you're denying yourself.
Right. Yeah, it says that your needs supersede my own. Mm-hmm. You know, and my own suffering is worth your happiness or your own good. We should say good.
Yeah, not happiness.
When it comes to like compassion and love, the word happiness should not be involved. Because it's really about your good.
And yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, compassion also, a lot of people relate compassion to accepting, just accepting each other.
Yeah, which is stupid.
Which is so silly.
And I do not accept that.
I don't either. And I actually listened to Steve Ray. He came to their men's conference a while back ago, and he made a great analogy or a picture of what that would look like. Imagine that your neighbor, somebody who that you've lived next door to for 40 years, and you realized that they were sinning in a particular way, yet you knew it, and you didn't say a single thing about it. And it is a grave sin. Okay, whatever that grave sin is.
Right.
You guys both die, and you're going up to heaven, or you're going up to be judged. Mm-hmm. And Christ says, Adam, you did great. You get into heaven. And they said, neighbor, you didn't do this, you know, so you're going to hell. And your neighbor looks at you and say, you mean to tell me that you knew about this the whole time and you didn't tell me to stop? You didn't tell me that this was wrong? Mm-hmm. That's a huge weight.
Yeah. So, and you look at him and say, I just didn't think it would be very compassionate to tell you.
Right. Exactly. And it's
I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Well, thanks, bro.
Yeah. Because now I'm going to spend eternity in hell.
Hope you're happy in heaven.
Yeah.
I'll just be down here suffering.
That whenever I heard that, I don't know what it's not an analogy, metaphor. No.
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
That story.
People know what it is. Whatever it is.
That story. I think that it really hit home for those people who think of like, oh, we're supposed to be accepting of one another. It's like, no, we're called to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We're called to seek truth, and as men, we deep down we yearn for truth.
Yeah, and really, I think compassion is primarily in this sense we're talking about. We need, so in the spectrum of compassion, there's a ideal middle ground somewhere that is the, you know, perfection of the virtue. Like most virtues, except for the theological ones, compassion is one that you could take to excess in either direction, either on the mercy side, meaning or like just let it go, which is where we've gone,
or on the
truth side, where it's like, no, you can't do anything.
Right.
Like, and I'm going to punish you to death.
Rigidness.
For your own good. Yeah, exactly. Rigidity. So there is an ideal middle ground here. I feel like we've swung so far to the quote unquote mercy side. We need a dose of rigidity, a dose of truthfulness. Mm-hmm. And this is where men need to come in.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you said that because, you know, Dave, our relationship has been a very dynamic relationship. We've grown together. And I remember right after college, you know, we were both struggling with certain things. And, you know, as a brother, as one of my best friends, you know, you came to me and said, Adam, you got to cut this out. You got to stop doing this.
Yeah.
And it was it had to be super uncomfortable for you. And you probably were a little nervous about it.
I may have loved it.
Probably. Yeah. And it was very hard for me to hear.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy to hear when somebody tells you you're wrong.
Yeah.
However, you did it in a very, it was a gentle way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't something that was like, you're going to hell, but you did it gently without crossing any kind of like barriers, if that makes sense. Like you did it without compromising any truth. I think that's what I was.
Well, you don't want to be rude.
Right.
That's the and you know, nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings.
Right.
But because you said that,
I'll just finish real quick. Because you said that and I accepted it, you know, and I said, "Yes, I agree. I think that I do need to change." And I did. There was a spiritual growth and like almost immediately after I realized that no, I shouldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And once I said no, I had to put this down and I have to, you know, go this other way that you were calling me to do as a brother, you know, that's what we're all called to do.
Yeah.
Once I did that, that was super compassionate on your part and it helped. That's the whole co-suffering part. That's compassion.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And once again, it's about suffering along with someone. It's right. Not about making life easier for them. It's about saying, I love you. Let's get through this together.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well,
I love that.
Sadly, we're halfway through this topic of compassion.
I love you, bro.
I love you, bro. I love you too, but you're not getting my Bud Light. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Sorry.
Welcome back to The Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, in studio with Adam Minahan. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show. That's what this show is, and you're listening to it right now. Thank you for listening. If you want to be a better listener, become a Council of Man member. Go to thecatholicmanshow.com, click on the Council of Man button. It says COM, that stands for Council of Man, and sign up to become a Council of Man member. A few things are going to happen. You're going to instantly get, as a thank you, Catholic Man Show Glencairn Glass. You will probably notice an increase of around 50 to 75% growth of chest hair. And you will look better with your shirt off. That is all I can promise. That's all.
Impressive.
And okay, I can promise one more thing. You will be granted access to a private Facebook group where things manly and holy happen. Anyway, we're talking about compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, we were talking about this is something that, God, I can't imagine someone doesn't have to face this conundrum at some point in their life where they have to go to a friend of theirs and like kind of call them out.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, our buddy Scott did this to me recently where I was starting to kind of like in one or two episodes push the envelope as far as my language on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me out. It's like, Dave.
That's right.
That's not.
He did.
And I was so glad he did.
Yeah. You know who else does it? Our buddy Juan. Great job
at
calling us out.
But sometimes, if you're really worried about having one of these conversations with someone, I think it takes two conversations. The first conversation, you just need to say, this is the deal, man. You just can't do that anymore. Okay? Make it short, brief, to the point. Do not linger in the first conversation. Just say, hey, you got to cut this out, dude. It's not good for you. I'm tired of you doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And follow it up maybe the next day with another conversation that says, hey, I know maybe it felt like I was being hard on you, but I did it because of these reasons. Okay, and I think it's important to have some time between the first and second to allow them to process what you said. Because mm-hmm. often when you tell someone that, it comes as it's shock.
Right.
They are...
Well, walls instantly go up.
Well, even if they don't, but you're right, they do. But even if they don't, a lot of times people are unaware mm-hmm. of the consequences of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of hurt,
mm-hmm.
but how, you know, how could you say that about me? You know, I'm not trying to hurt, you know, I'm not trying to do anything bad. And so they need time to process what you've said. Then you come back with that follow-up conversation where you say, hey, you know, I want to talk about this again. I wasn't trying to, you know, I the reason I did this is because I want the best for you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I want you to be a manly dude.
Right. No, I agree. And
yeah,
I,
not
and-
just a semi-manly dude.
Right. No, and I totally agree. I think that's how you have to do it. You know, even on this podcast, you know, you can't be afraid of losing listeners, you know, by speaking the truth.
Totally.
Right. You know, I'm not worried about losing a listener if they're offended by what we're going to talk about, because, you know, God has given us this platform, this, you know, medium of spreading his truth. And if we don't do that, then I'm going to be held accountable. I'm much more afraid of God saying, Adam, why did you not say this truth? than worried about somebody saying, I didn't like what you said.
Yeah. I think offending people is really a gift. I mean that. Let me tell you why. It's kind of weird to say. But if you're offended by something, one of two things is going to happen, because it forces you to confront your own position on a topic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now it's like, how could they say that? You know, you go through this with your, well, here's the reasons why, blah, 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 blah. And either you're going to realize, you know what? I'm not really sure, as sure in my position as I thought.
Right.
And it's like, you're going to just be all emotional about it. And you're not going to really have any arguments to come back.
Right.
Or you're going to be, how could he say that when blah, 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 and blah is true? This is true and this is true.
Right.
And so you're either going to be strengthened in the truth or you're going to be weakened in your false position.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I
that's
think.
True.
I think are the results of being offended. So regardless of what your position is on anything, if you get offended on it, it's going to strengthen you in the truth or weaken you in a lie.
That's interesting.
So let's just go around offending people.
That's definitely not that, like, that's not what we're saying.
Not at all. Not at all.
But I do, we have to talk about this, because when you talk about compassion, the hot topic right now is, you know, the LGBT, whatever.
Q. Don't forget the Q at the end.
Whatever the, okay. They just had their.
ABC squared, yeah, whatever.
You have to talk about this because it's a hot topic issue.
Gay pride parade.
Yeah. And, you know, as men, this is the man show. We're not gonna go away from something that's controversial.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about it real quick.
Let's do it. You told me you're gonna say something that's controversial, and I didn't tell you this. I've got my own controversial stuff to say. So
okay.
let's do it.
Let's do this. Okay. So the Gay Pride Parade was what this last week, and it's really interesting because there's some priests that came out who like supported the, and even some Catholics that came out and supported the parade.
Like Father Martin?
Like Father James Martin. Yeah, he tweeted that. He actually just wrote a book.
I'm going to say this. He's a disgrace to his priesthood.
I can't agree more. And maybe that offends you, but I'm sorry.
He is.
And it's not... Okay, so...
His behavior is a disgrace to his priesthood.
Because, okay, when you're talking about people who have same-sex attraction, it's not we versus them. You know, Father Mike Schmitz has a great video that you got to go watch.
Totally. Subscribe to his YouTube channel if you haven't.
It's phenomenal. But it's not we versus them. We all need everybody in the body of Christ. Everybody.
Yeah, all of us.
All of us. So it's everybody. And we all have different weaknesses. We all have different struggles. But to approve of a sin... is not compassion. It's what we were just talking about.
No.
It is literally hurting this person.
Yeah.
They may feel better about it at the time. You know, that book, Making Gay Okay. Who's it by?
By Robert Riley.
Robert Riley, yeah. That whole psychology of how the gay movement...
I think that's next week. I think that's what we're going to do the episode on.
Okay.
About psychological rationalization.
Okay.
The psychology of rationalization. We've talked a little bit about it on the show before, but
okay. So I want to get back to this because I think that it's hurting Catholics because there's a lot of confusion in this world right now of, you know, same sex attraction and how we deal with the people who struggle with that.
Yeah,
we need them. It's not that we only want them in the church. We need them. You know,
absolutely.
We need them. We need strong same sex attracted people in our church that stand for chastity, that stand for I am more than just how I identify sexually. You know, I'm made in the image and likeness of God. I am not somebody who can be demoted to just my sexual orientation.
Right.
And so we need those people to stand up and say, this is, I am more, I can live more than just what my sexual life is.
Right. Yeah. Your sexual attraction does not define you. You are more than a sexual urge.
Right. Exactly.
So to say I am gay is to limit yourself, is to reduce yourself to simply a sexual urge.
And that's just not true.
And you're a person.
Yeah. Not only are you a person, but you're called to be a saint. You're called for greatness.
Totally.
You're called for glory.
Embrace it, brother.
Embrace it. You know, so if you are struggling with same-sex attraction, if you're listening to this right now and you're struggling with it, we need you to stand for chastity. We need you to speak out and stand up for what the church teaches, which is we embrace the people who have same-sex attractions, but we call them to chastity. We call them to holiness.
And which is no more than anybody else is called to.
Exactly. That is exactly. Just okay. Like we call the person who's a heterosexual who's single to chastity.
Right.
Just the person who's married, we call them to chastity.
If you are not married, then you... Well, no, no. Even if you are married,
yeah,
everybody must live in chastity. However, for those who are unmarried, that means celibacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so,
the bottom line.
Anyway,
so it doesn't matter
I just had,
who
I,
you're attracted
to. I had to get
to.
That out because it just was... It is just
does
irking.
It feel does it feel good? It
feels a lot better.
Yeah.
But it let me irking me.
I
don't use irk very often.
It's a weird word to use. I feel like this is appropriate right here.
Okay.
So about that whole identification thing.
Okay.
I want to get this out because I think this is a good example about the, I am using the word gay to define somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It really is not a good thing to do. Okay.
Right.
So let's say, because the culture says, if you feel attractions to someone, you should just embrace those and you should act on them because that's, just whatever makes you feel good. Okay, so I'm attracted to people. I'm attracted to other women who are not my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There are plenty, thousands of incredibly attractive women out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm attracted to them.
Right.
Okay? So the culture says I should act on those attractions. Does that make me an adulterosexual? Is that who I am at my core? Because I'm attracted to women who are not my wife?
Right.
No, that's not my definition.
Right.
Okay. I'm a man who is married.
Mm-hmm. And who loves your wife.
Who loves my, yeah. And as a man, I'm attracted to the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and there happens to be a lot of those out there. Okay.
Right.
I've picked one who's like out of this world.
Right.
But that doesn't make me an adulterosexual. I am not who I'm attracted to.
That's not who you
doesn't
are.
Doesn't define me.
And as men, we're called to self-mastery, right? So we're called, even as men who are married, there are times that, if with NFP, you're called to abstain.
Yeah. So let's get back to compassion real fast.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
I'm sorry.
I think everybody knows someone who is who's attracted to the same sex.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What they need is more solid friendship.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So we need to be there for them.
Absolutely.
And be,
because
it's a man
we're
that
co-suffering.
You know,
we're compassionate.
Exactly. We need to walk alongside them because let's be honest, a lot of them feel like the church resigns them to a life of loneliness.
Right. That's so true.
How terrifying
is
that? If that's
absolutely.
What you, and a lot of them honestly feel that way. That's terrifying. We need to be there and say, hey man, I'm going to walk this journey with you.
Absolutely.
That is what compassion is.
And that's what a true man is.
Absolutely.
Oh,
we could go for two more segments on this.
I would love to.
Easily.
Anyway, I hope you guys got something out of that.
Me too.
Me too.
The
drink was rated R Imperial Stout. The gear was a wheelbarrow. And we just talked about compassion. Great to have you back, Dave.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.